strike at any time.
At any time.
Again, we are dealing with a tornado warning right now. This is going to be in Santa Rosa County.
At any time.
And Steve, you're looking at the radar. What are you seeing right now?
What you need to know.
Well, on the News Radio ThreatNet radar, the showers are covering the entire north part of Escambia County, moving into the downtown area.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
What you need to know.
News Radio 92.3.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
UWF return man Bright Cannon about midfield. Their punter is Wyatt Salter out of Brandon, Mississippi. Punted last week one time for 43 yards, and the blocked. Punt is blocked or went off the side of his foot out of bounds at the 7-yard line. Oh my goodness, the Argos with a block and recover the ball on the doorstep of the Bears.
9 minutes left in the first quarter, so you've got about 5.5-6 minutes of gameplay has been used up already. And again, Central Arkansas, who was ranked pretty highly, UWF ranked, 25th? I think they were ranked 24th. Different polls seem to have different numbers, but they had had a big win their first week, just like we had had a big upset win our first week. So this was expected to be a pretty tight game, but on the second possession, forcing a punt from their own 11, goes backwards 4 yards to the 7. UWF takes over, and with 9.25 to go,
DJ Lane will go out to the right side, 2 to the left for Tyree Davis. Snap it. He'll take it himself, going left. Now bounces outside, and he's in for a score. Touchdown, Argos! Tyree Davis. You can't spell touchdown without TD.
I like that. We're going to put that on a T-shirt.
Tyree Davis.
We are going to put that on a T-shirt for
sure. I love it. You can't spell touchdown without TD. Tyree Davis. So that made it 7-0. And then with about 2 minutes expired after that, you had Central Arkansas with the ball and what became the story of the day.
7-0 Argos. Amalo fakes to the tailback in trouble and will get sacked. And the defense comes through once again. As the Argo defensive line surrounds Amalo and then drowns him, it'll be a loss of about 7 yards.
There weren't a ton of takeovers, but there was all kinds of defense. In fact, as their own hometown newspaper described it, doom for Central Arkansas, because UWF defense was the story of the game. But don't get me wrong, they did pretty well on offense as well. UWF with the ball, 3 minutes to go in the quarter.
First and goal. Two tight ends to the right from the short side of the field. Tyree gives it off to TJ Lane going left, and he's in for the score. Touchdown, Argos! And a quiet Conway, Arkansas.
14-0 in the beginning of the second quarter. They did put up some signs of life, Central Arkansas.
From their own, from the Argo 44, second and long indeed. Here's Amalo looking left and then sprinting up the middle on a quarterback keep. He breaks a tackle in at the 15 to 20, and now he fumbles it into the end zone and then dives on it himself for an apparent Bears touchdown. Oh, my goodness.
Sure enough.
Donovan Amalo breaks, contain, goes straight up the middle. Fumbles it to himself and scores a 44-yard run and score for the Bears to get on the board.
Who put the butter on the football? You know, he fumbles it to himself after a big, long, almost 50-yard run. Quarterback Donovan Amalo, he's going to be a key part of this story. So he gets the touchdown. That makes it 14-7. You have UWF doesn't do anything the next possession. UCA gets it back.
Donovan Amalo, very dangerous.
I call them UCA, University of Central Arkansas. I don't know what they call themselves. I've never heard of this school before. But they're in our league. You know, they're in our conference. So these are the folks that we got to play.
Donovan Amalo, very dangerous runner in the backfield. Going to hand it off, though. Going over the right side. James Washington, the ball comes out. The ball is out on the 50-yard line. And the Argos say they've got it, and they do. A fumble. And a recovery by the Argos. A big old hit out there, and Washington actually comes out with one good arm and no football. The Argos have the ball on a turnover. It worked last week. What a hit. Oh, my goodness. Give some love to Kenyon Hunter.
So you had a sack early. You had a fumble recovery. Kenyon Hunter poked it out, and Will Fenema was the one who picked it up. UWF takes that ball all the way down.
Balanced set this time. Davis will fake to the tailback and go downfield. He's got a man, and it will be caught for a touchdown. Bright Cannon from the 42-yard line. Touchdown, Argos. Tyree Davis to Bright Cannon.
There you go. Take it 21-7, and then still with time to go in the halves. 5 minutes to go. UCA's got the ball.
Second and one. Here's a swing pass going to the right side. And getting across. The ball is out again.
Wow.
The ball is out again, and the Argos have fallen on it again. That pass to Cam Young coming out of the backfield. He gets popped. The ball comes loose, and the Argos get another turnover. My goodness.
So it's 21-7. The Argos have the ball. What do they do with it with 2 minutes to go in the half?
Three to the left for Tyree Davis with TJ Lane with him in the backfield from the 8-yard line. Second and goal. Man comes through the set, snap it and give it off to Lane. Nope. It'll be Tyree Davis with a little flip to the right side. It's in for a score. Touchdown, Argos. Tyler Dawson with his second catch tonight.
28-7 at the half in a game that was supposed to be really tight. But maybe UCA does something in the second half. I'll tell you about it in the second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 are both looking good. Still just dealing with that vehicle crash and injuries in Roblox State Road 97 at Tungo Road and McDavid. Use caution. I'm PJ with traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. So UWF having won the toss. They did not have the ball in the first, in the second half. University of Central Arkansas had the ball. So they've got the ball. It, you know, 30 minutes to go. They're down 28-7. And on the second and five at the 30 for Arkansas.
Bears have to find some momentum, and they're going to go right back to the line. That was a completion to Ty Durham, a five-yard play at the 30-yard line. Now it'll be a pass to the right side. It's tipped and picked off, going the other way. It's a Curry line. Could he come up with pick sixes 2 weeks in a row? He does. Touchdown, Argos! Oh, my goodness. What an answer by the Argos defense. A pick six, a Curry Lied. We know your name this week, man. 34-7.
Not too shabby. 2 weeks in a row, first 2 weeks of the season, a Curry Lied gets a pick six, this time off of University of Central Arkansas. Last week, off of St. Louis University, or Southern Illinois University. I taught it both, so I get them confused. Sorry, SLU and SIU can see the difference. Anyway, so the pick six there made it 35-7. UWF got... On the very first series after that, they got another sack. UWF did. UWF managed to pick up another touchdown off of them. So 42-14, they picked up a no doesn't matter touchdown back. So 42-14 was your final score. No scoring in the fourth half or in the fourth quarter. So if you stopped listening, I was recording the game and we had been out boating and I tuned in the game. You know, when it was 42-7, I'm like, I'm done. You know, there's nothing to listen to here in the third quarter, and nothing happened. Good job to Jordan Glass and Brian Prowitz doing the calling on our sister station, Sports Radio 99.1 and AM 1330. Outstanding. There was all kinds of good football over the weekend. You had Oregon playing Boise State.
Second down and one. As they move Jamari Johnson into the slot, Dante Moore backpedals, fires, complete on the run to Corian Moore. And he's gone. DeCorian Moore, touchdown, Oregon. 62 yards with the catch and run.
And that was basically the game. That made it 34-27. Oregon goes on to win a game that should not have been so close. They're ranked number two on a great team. Boise State ranked number 24. Baylor-Auburn, War Eagle.
Pearson, what can he come up with on third and three? He's going to run it again.
Byron Brown, who followed the coach over from University of South Florida, he's in his fifth year. He played four games in his first year, so he still has redshirt freshman eligibility. Alex Golish, the new head coach for Auburn. So they were up 17-10 at that point with 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Baylor, all these different teams we played. Baylor with the ball, fourth and goal on the five, 13 seconds to go in the game, about ready to... Well, give a chance to tie it. Go ahead. Depends on what they do afterwards.
He has been playing on a bum ankle all game long. Cutting it out. Fourth and goal. Game on the line. Lagway. He does it to Freeman.
I'm dying. It's 17-16, and Baylor decides to go for two for the win. with 9 seconds to go on the clock. So Baylor's either going to win or they're going to lose on this play, which I was thankful for because I didn't have heart left in me for overtime. So Baylor's with the ball, going for 2 points.
Going for two. Here's Freeman right here in the slot.
He caught it, and he got stood up. Well, it was kind of a combination, stood up and forced down. He got his knee down, Eric Winters did, at the, like, 3-inch line for the football. It was crazy, and Auburn winds up winning this game because Baylor went for the 2-point conversion. Amazing. Oh, there's all kinds of great football. Listen, we have, you know, people, most parts of the United States have four seasons, right? You have spring, summer, fall, and winter. In Florida, we have 5 seasons. We have termite season, we have ant season, we have love bug season, we have hurricane season, we have football season. Thank God it is football season again. So we are here for it. 620 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Happy Labor Day to everyone who works. Labor Day. Happy Socialism Day. You know, Labor Day is a celebration of, you know, labor unions, which kind of came out of the socialist movement. I mean, like, you know, it's kind of a weird one that we celebrated. I remember long time ago when I was in Amway, and they always had a Free Enterprise Day as was their protest celebration weekend for Labor Day, which I was kind of a better way to celebrate capitalism. But, you know, here we are. To all you who are working today, so are we. So yay for all of us. 621 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay, and if you need to do extra work on your Labor Day because you're working on a home improvement project or an upgrade, or you're, I don't know, building something, remodeling, or you build things for a living, you know, I don't know what the situation is, but go to Pensacola Hardware. They're your place. They speak your language. You will not have to have a translator. You will not come away thinking, man, I knew more about it than they did. They'll know. They've been doing this for 175 years, seriously, since before the Civil War, before there was Levi's jeans. There was Pensacola Hardware right here in Pensacola, the oldest business in the state of Florida, one of the 50 oldest in the entire country, and they get it. Talk to Jimmy or Martin or Mansfield or Susan and just ask them questions. You know, they're there to help. They're there to save you money. They're there to save you time and convenience. Make sure you do it safely. You know, there's a lot of dangerous things that go on in hardware and construction, and they can take care of you because that's what they've been doing for people, like I said, since 1851, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Join Chris Roney from Ace Unlocks Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Chris will be sharing his years of expertise in the field of locksmithing, talking about topics like security benefits of having your home or business locks inspected and resecured, smart locks, and even reprogramming your car's ECU computer for a lost key fob.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions.
You recognize the smell of marijuana, but it's not just a smell. It's a warning. If you can smell it, harmful chemicals are entering your lungs, bloodstream, and brain, and our children too. Every inhale affects brain development and triples the risk of serious respiratory issues. Protect your kids and grandkids from the dangers of marijuana. Their future is on the line. This message is sponsored by the Department of Children and Families and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
You're not looking for an argument.
You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
At your age, you're going to be having a lot of urges. You're going to want to take off your clothes and touch each other. But if you do touch each other, you will get chlamydia and die.
I want to go to the school where Mean Girls was happening. That sounds like an interesting place. Oh, man. You know, the things that adults do to scare children is it's fascinating. I don't know. PJ, you and I are about the same age. Do you remember the school bus video?
School bus video?
Oh, you must have not had it. We got shown a school bus video in, I'm trying to think. I mean, it was at Meadowview High School in Downers Grove, Woodridge. So this would have been, gosh, fifth grade, maybe, I'm thinking.
Okay.
So they bring us all into the, you know, the gym slash lunchroom slash where you have your plays slash whatever, all the stuff. And we get in there and they're showing us a video. You know, everything's going okay and the kids are riding along and the, you know, bus driver's driving along. And then all of a sudden the kids start acting up. And the kids start, you know, making noise and fighting with each other and, you know, blowing spit wads or whatever. And, you know, the bus driver's like, settle down back there, settle down. And kids get worse and worse and stop. And they're like, suddenly we're on like, you know, Mulholland Drive or something in L.A. And I don't know, some canyon road. And I don't know why they're taking that to school, but whatever. And so they're driving and, you know, the kids are getting worse and the bus driver's frazzled. And then, I don't know, it just all goes horribly wrong. And the bus goes over the side of the road and blows up and there's blood everywhere. I mean, so message was, sit in your seat and be quiet when the bus is driving. Because you might send it over the road of the canyon and make it all blow up and everybody dies.
It's like an SNL skit.
It was. I'm just telling you the things that we did. You know, we had duck and cover. You know, you remember duck and cover. You protect yourself from a nuclear bomb by getting underneath your aluminum and press board plasticated desks. You know, that was going to save you. I mean, it was just, you know, all those people, I'm too scared and triggered by the things around me. Dude, you should have grown up in the 70s. You don't know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash and injuries in Roblox State Road at 97 and Tungle Road at McDavid. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Yeah, hurricanes. We had nuclear war to worry about. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headline. David, did you have the bus video?
No, I don't recall that bus
video. And you're
video.
Too young for duck and cover, I think.
Yeah, I was.
Had you ever? You've seen duck the duck and cover videos,
I've
though,
I've seen
right?
the videos, yeah.
Okay. That's exactly
the
what they show.
Archives.
It's exactly what they show. All right, kids, duck and cover. Put your hand over your head, kneel down underneath your desk, and wait for the apocalypse.
I'm still thinking about the bus driving off the canyon now.
Oh, my God. It was so terrible. The movie, you know, but I remember to this day, it's been 48 years, you know?
Sounds like some film studio in L.A. got a tax write-off to produce
I know PJ will remember the after-school specials, you know, of all the different on TV, the after-school specials. You're giving me the blank look here. No?
I remember the after-school specials.
What? No.
It depends. It refresh my memory.
Like after the Flintstones or before the Jetsons or Tom and Jerry or whatever was in the afternoon. Anyway, no, the after-school specials was TV, like made for TV movies. That were also designed to scare you straight.
Yeah, super dramatic.
Yeah, there was one where it was all about the dangers of, it was marijuana, if I remember right, it was marijuana, because if you use marijuana, you'll wind up using PCP. I'm not kidding. And they showed this girl going to the top of the school high on PCP and taking a dive off into the parking lot and dying. And
I remember that one.
Yeah, see?
Yes.
See, you remember that?
Yeah.
And, you know, and so don't use marijuana, because you'll wind up diving off of the school and dying on PCP. Hey, none of us smoke marijuana. It seems to have worked okay. And I haven't even gotten into, like, the day after, you know, with, was it George Peppard and the, you know, the day after the nuclear war and they're all, y'all have your vampires and your zombies these days, but, you know, we had real things to be worried about. All right, David, sorry I interrupted you with all that. Go ahead.
That is all right. Well, the British government is condemning what it's calling intimidating and thuggish behavior by anti-immigration protesters at two southern England ports. Hundreds of masked demonstrators confronted police in Portsmouth on Sunday while migrants were brought ashore after crossing the English Channel. Protests there disrupted traffic at the port of Dover on Saturday as well. 9 people have been killed in Israeli airstrikes on a village in southern Lebanon. 11 others were wounded, including women and children. Another airstrike reportedly hitting a car and killing a paramedic. The attacks come with renewed tensions between Israel and Hezbollah. And 5 people have passed away after a Prime Air cargo plane overran the runway at the Miami airport over the weekend. The plane apparently hit several vehicles and then caught on fire. Miami-Dade County officials said, aside from the 5 fatalities, 5 other people were also injured.
I had a friend of mine was actually going in and out of Miami over the weekend, and he's like, oh, my God, Andrew, did you see this? And he sent me some photos of the plane just, you know, nose down into the ground.
Oh, wow.
It it's
were they around the airport when it happened?
No, he had taken off or was landing sort of after the fact, you know, because there wasn't even like smoke in the picture anymore. But man,
that would have been chaotic.
Scary. And I mean, you know, five people died, but it's a huge airport, obviously very, very active, and they got it back to, you know, that's the one thing that to me was wild is the airport's operating while you've got this cargo plane over on the other runway, because it's big. It's not like Pensacola, where it's just, you know, two crisscross. There's, you know, lots and lots of runways.
And just think about the track. That's a huge plane, a 767.
Yes, massive. Ooh. All right. David, thank you so much for the update. Somebody says, oh, I remember after school specials. Didn't Jodie Foster or someone like her get their start from being in? Could have been. I mean, the generation before ours, like the boomers, you know, actors and actresses got their start in like Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. You know, singing songs and M-O-U or M-I-C-K-E-Y. You know, like, why? Because we like you. Our actors and actresses' generations got their start in bus explosions and PCP suicide deaths. You know, like, it was a different world in the 70s and the early 80s. And sometimes you don't believe the stories your parents tell you uphill both ways in the snow, but it was just like that for us.
I'm Therese Crowley, trapped in a cargo jet crash. The pilots and several drivers on the ground had to be extricated after a 21-air cargo jet flying for Amazon overshot runway 30 at Miami Airport during stormy weather, clipped the active highway, and crash-landed in an adjacent field. Difficult rescue amid leaking fuel for 200 fire crews.
Prime Air Flight 7598 overran the runway, and now we know that five people lost their lives and five others were injured.
Miami-Dade Mayor Danielle Levine-Cava, the NTSB investigating the 767-300 disaster and why the crew was unable to hit the runway landing zone, with the investigation likely causing continuing delays through this Labor Day Monday. At the largest county state fair, Canfield, Ohio, an armed man lunged at Ohio Democrat governor candidate Amy Acton, several people injured. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio, 92.3, 77 degrees right now. We've got partly cloudy skies. We'll get a full look at our forecast from Channel 3. That's up in just a couple of minutes. 43-year-old Baldwin County man working as a Homeland Security Investigation Special Agent has turned himself in on multiple severe sex crime charges, including rape, sodomy, and incest. Deputies say Kent Blackledge was placed on administrative leave once the investigation began. Chief John Barber says law enforcement's job is to pursue justice regardless of who is involved. Two men have been charged in an armed home invasion robbery at an apartment in Destin. We first reported that on Friday. Deputies arrested 27-year-old Jared McCree and 24-year-old Isaiah Webb. They're both being held in the Okaloosa County Jail. Now, investigators say they are trying to locate 28-year-old Taylor Nicole Robinson of Milton, who was reportedly at that apartment during the robbery but left the scene. Deputies say they want to confirm her safety. They're asking anybody with information to contact the sheriff's office or to call Crime Stoppers. Parents rallied Friday in Escambia County demanding answers after a grand jury report found the Department of Children and Families to be, quote, failing catastrophically in its duty to protect kids.
We don't have 5 years. We don't have 2 years. We don't have a year. This is happening now. They are removing children from homes without evidence based off of hearsay.
And State Senator Don Gates says that report is prompting him to draft reform legislation, including tighter oversight of DCF contractors and more ways for parents to challenge agency decisions. A 42-year-old Pensacola man wanted on attempted homicide and burglary charges has now been arrested in connection with an August stabbing at the Lions Motel. Deputies say Michael Earl Beasley stabbed a victim about five times during an argument, then stole his money and fled. The victim was hospitalized. Deputies were initially unable to locate Beasley despite setting up a perimeter. He was found and arrested on Saturday. Nine new corrections officers are joining Escambia County after graduating from George Stone Criminal Justice Training Center's Corrections Academy. The graduates completed a 445-hour program covering defensive tactics, firearms, and CPR training. Commander Scott Nash says he is proud of the new class and excited to watch them grow in their careers. 24-year-old man is facing charges after allegedly breaking into a 93-year-old woman's apartment and standing at the foot of her bed. Deputies say that woman mistook Connor Norcross for her grandson before realizing he was a stranger and telling him to leave. And investigators say Norcross touched her arm before exiting, then tried getting back in through the locked front door. He was identified through security footage and arrested days later. He's facing burglary and elder battery charges. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be seeing a warm day today with temperatures in the 90s. We will have a 60% chance of your showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Going to be seeing temperatures tonight dropping near 75. For Tuesday, 50% chance of rain, high near 89 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Heading into Wednesday, 50% chance of rain with a high near 88 degrees and a low near 76. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
6:35 at News Radio. We've got 77 degrees, and let's check in with PJ. He's got our traffic on the fives.
Travis brought to you by ECUA, making service easier with the new MyECUA mobile app available to download now. Pay your bill, report service issues, alerts, and recycling tips. I-10 and 110 are both flowing smooth right now. If you're on US 98 east and westbound through Navarre, that's looking good as well. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much. 6:35, your next news at 7. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Dan Loney with Your Money Now. WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert is retiring at the end of the current season. During her time leading the league, it has seen unprecedented growth, but also much criticism of her leadership from some of the players on things like compensation, officiating, harassment, and more. Viewership is up 450%, attendance about 70%, and the average value of a team is now around $460 million. Federal regulators are looking into Tesla's new steering wheel-free Cybercab to find out if it meets safety standards. The debut of the vehicle was last week in Austin, Texas, with customers able to book rides through its robo-taxi app. Tesla told the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration that the vehicle meets all applicable standards. Lululemon reported disappointing revenue results last quarter. It missed on revenue at $2.42 billion, but beat on earnings per share at $2.06. Wall Street closed for Labor Day. It'll reopen on Tuesday. That's Your Money Now.
Billy Anderson here at Anderson Subaru in Pensacola, and we're excited to announce an incredible 75-month financing on four of our most popular models. Ascent, Crosstrek, Forester, and Outback. Combined with low end-of-summer rates, it's the perfect time to get behind the wheel of a new Subaru. Get 0.9% APR financing for 75 months on Ascent models, the family-sized SUV with flexible seating for up to 8, and 1.9% APR financing for 75 months on the redesigned Outback. Or get 2.9% APR financing for 75 months on Subaru Crosstrek models. And 2.9% APR financing for 75 months on Subaru Forester models. Flexible long-term financing, low rates, and legendary reliability and longevity. Even more reason to love a Subaru from Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
My doctor told me my cholesterol is borderline, so I took control with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula. Garlique helps maintain healthy cholesterol safely and naturally. It's odor and taste-free, and Garlique is a world leader in garlic potency. I'm taking charge of my cholesterol with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula, cholesterol's natural enemy.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural references only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 28th to Pensacola Beach. This is the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference. Get connected with top experts and explore the cutting-edge trends shaping our future. From AI to robotics to national security and healthcare tech. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Don't miss out. Secure your tickets today at itenwired.com.
Pump up the volume.
Business moves fast. Orders roll in, deadlines close in. When you ship with USPS Ground Advantage, you can keep up with confidence. Every package stays in our secure network from dock to door. And with nationwide reach, dependable tracking, and upfront affordable pricing, you get built-in peace of mind. You run the business. We run the routes. Visit usps.com/groundadvantage to learn more.
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it.
The midterm elections. Who will win? Who will not?
One question about the 2026 races is already answered.
It'll all be covered on News Radio 92.3.
Campaign 2026.
This is where the fun begins.
Every step, every day.
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it.
On News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Court hearing is concluded, which should be in a few minutes. You will hear from Senator Jason Pizzo, who for the past 7 months has volunteered his time and his personal resources as the family's pro bono attorney. He can discuss the details of this case. I can't discuss those details, but it is a case grossly and incompetently mishandled by the Florida Department of Children and Families and their contracted agencies.
State Senator Don Gates doing a press conference on Friday. Jason Pizzo, a longtime Democrat, became a no-party affiliation, and two other senators signed a letter talking about their intent to file legislation this coming session dealing with the catastrophic failures at DCF, and they go in two different directions. Failure set number one is simply failing to take action to protect the children and the, less able or, disabled adults who cannot take care of themselves. And they're overly intrusive and inappropriate taking of children away from parents who need to be reunited with their kids and the behavior that they get. That's the Zaraf case, that's been going on for years now. Thank God they finally got their kids back. There's real serious problems at DCF, especially in District 5, which is what the grand jury report indicated.
It is because of Senator Pizzo's tireless advocacy and his brilliant lawyering and the direct intervention of three other members of the Florida Senate that Kaylee's story will have a happy ending. But it should not take four senators and three lawyers.
That's right.
There are hundreds of Kenleys and way too many stories where the Department of Children and Families and its contractors have failed Florida's most vulnerable children and their families.
And listen, getting a daughter back to her family is a good outcome, but it's not a good outcome. It's a terrible outcome having gone through everything they went through. It could have been a worse outcome. You had a terrible outcome and you had a less terrible outcome is what happened. But kids who are deprived of their, separated from their parents inappropriately, and then every day of delay is harm to the kids and the parents. Every single day of delay is harm. So this grand jury report comes out.
3 days ago, the grand jury, meeting in Circuit 5, reported its findings after a seven-month investigation. This is what the grand jury said, and I quote, "This investigation revealed heartbreaking systemic patterns of neglect and abuse, abrogation of statutory responsibilities, as well as operational failures within the Department of Children and Families."
Yeah, the grand jury report is scathing. It says the gravity of this crisis cannot be overstated. On the very day this grand jury was impaneled, we indicted a defendant for the first-degree felony murder of a child. We found that DCF investigated and visited that family 14 times prior to the murder. This tragedy is a direct symptom of an agency in crisis. We call upon leadership to review these findings in earnest and work collaboratively to implement the vital structural reforms needed in DCF Circuit 5. And DCF's answer is, we fixed all these problems. This is all old news. Good Lord. And they repeatedly refused to let themselves be interviewed by the grand jury. It's really, really bad.
Read the findings of that grand jury report. Children were exploited, abused, neglected. Children died. According to the grand jury, the Department of Children and Families failed, and when the department was confronted with its failures, the department delayed, denied, lied, and then did nothing.
There are good people who work at DCF. I'm sure lots of them. But it is hard to hear this and read the report and think about the cases and not think, man, everybody needs to be fired. I know that doesn't solve anything because you're going to fire the good ones along with the bad ones. And where are you going to get the replacements? But that's the feeling it evokes in you when you see this stuff. And again, I think a lot of this became, you know, more of a news story because you had good parents having had their child removed inappropriately and dealing with trying to get a child back. But you also have lots of cases where children were not removed. No action was taken. And again and again and again, there were reports and nothing was done about it. It needs systemic reform. And Don Gates says legislation is absolutely coming in the spring.
We are listening to law enforcement, to medical authorities, to professional caregivers, to religious leaders and parents. Our legislation is still being drafted. But here are 10 provisions that likely will be in our bills.
Like one of the it's a small note in the report is that they would subcontract to other agencies for like after hours calls. And they'd basically say, just Baker Act everybody until we get back to work at 9 a.m. And that would put the first responders like the paramedics and the hospital staff and law enforcement in the position of having to make calls that really the experts in children and families, if they were actually experts, but their experts are supposed to be making. So and they would actually have side meetings, these first responders in Marion County to figure out, to figure out what to do, like to create, you know, response pattern for this kind of stuff, having to use their resources to figure out how to backstop the failures at DCF. Like I said, it's terrible. We'll get back to this in just a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash and injuries in Roblox, State Road 97 and Tungle Road in McDavid. Use caution there. If you see anything else, 437-1620. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
Thanks, PJ. So back to the recommendations by Don Gates, the 10 things he says are going to go into the legislation they're going to work on. And, I mean, this will pass, I would think, 100% in the Senate and the House. I almost can't imagine anybody voting against it. And certainly not the governor vetoing whoever that'll be next year, assuming Byron Donald, but it could be David Jolly, you never know. Here are his 10 recommendations.
First, the Department of Children and Families can contract out services, but it cannot contract out the state's responsibility and the accountability that the state owes to Florida families. Contracts should be based on performance. Contractor performance should be overseen competently and tightly by the Department of Children and Families, and DCF itself should be closely overseen by the governor and the Florida legislature.
Yeah, DCF, at least in District 5, has been operating essentially like a rogue agency. No real oversight, no real controls, and left without checks and balances to protect parents' rights, to protect kids, and to make sure that they're doing the right thing. And he even acknowledges at the end of the press conference, like, part of this is our fault, all for our fault. We haven't done what we're supposed to do. And, in some ways, It's understandable because who's going to fight for the right things with DCF? You know, the kids don't have any power. The bad parents or caretakers or fosters, you know, the bad ones, they are the problem, so they're not going to be the fight. Who's going to fight for them? You know, the only reason this got a lot of profile is because you had a, you know, good family lost their kid for a couple of years and, you know, they were able to get some political resources brought to bear. But this is the classic problem of people with no political power and no one to represent them. Not really. The agency that's supposed to represent them isn't doing its job. Who fixes that? Well, that's the problem.
Number two, a family's rights should not depend on what county they live in, which investigator is called, or what contractor happens to hold the state contract in that county.
Right.
The professionalism of state employees, case review, documentation, transparency, and accountability should be the same no matter where you are in the state of Florida.
Right. Where you live, who's running the case, what their biases are, should not matter. There should be a standard of care that is consistent across all locations in the state.
Number three, there should be legal consequences for agency personnel, for their contractors, for providers, and for others who falsify or alter documents or provide false information or false testimony to the court.
That was one of the incidents in the grand jury report was that they would fabricate all kinds of stuff. They would just lie about, the DCF folks would lie about records. The grand jury, 12 cases in the circuit where DCF or case management workers were accused by law enforcement of falsifying records and reports. They say this revelation was unnerving. These reports detail documentations of telephone conversations that never occurred, home visits that never occurred, interviews with families and children that never occurred. Investigations further revealed lack of training, established guidelines, and defined duties for these case managers. In 8 of the 12 cases, charges for official misconduct, falsifying records, were filed by the state attorney's office. So, again, that's not a case. Those don't sound like cases where nothing was done. Those sound like cases where the wrong thing was done, like overly intrusive, aggressive, you know, inappropriate withdrawals, removals of kids. If they're falsifying records to cover up their bias, prejudice, and wrong interventions, what's going on in the cases where the kids actually need help? Same problem on the other side. 15 calls to the house and nothing gets done. I mean, again, I hate to just be a broken record, but it's terrible. I'm glad they're doing something about this. So, yes, when, you know, the employees do something wrong at DCF, they absolutely need to face legal consequences.
Number 4, parents must be given due process. Parents must be allowed to present evidence, to dispute inaccurate information, to challenge agency actions.
Yes.
And to do so without fear that by doing that, that somehow their rights can be threatened and that their fact that they are using their rights would be used to threaten termination of parental rights and responsibilities.
Oh, my God. This is such a horror show, this very comment, because, first of all, absolutely there needs to be due process for parents to challenge the withdrawals, removals, inappropriate ones. I mean, as he says later on, the way we are supposed to treat the right to parent your children is close to the level of scrutiny that an execution should have, like that level of care, because the right to parent is so vital. At the same time, we need to make sure to protect kids who are having their lives and livelihood violated. Yes, that's the twin difficulty of working in DCF. Okay, but what do you do if they take your kids? And then if you challenge them and say, well, I have a right to this, and they say, well, if you don't cooperate, we'll make it worse. You know that happens. Or if you cooperate, you know, it'll go easier on you. You should never question whether your legal or constitutional rights will be violated or unfulfilled simply because of your choice to exert them or not. You know, what's the instruction to a jury always when somebody doesn't want to testify in their own case? The fact that they do not want to self-incriminate, the fact that they take advantage of the Fifth Amendment, shall not be used as evidence against them. Just like a parent saying, well, I'd like to see the documents, I'd like to talk to the caseworker, and I'd like to challenge this, and I'd like to, you know, have a hearing with a judge. You know, that should never count against you when all you're trying to do is make sure the process is fair. And yet that's exactly what he's talking about has happened. And you can easily understand why it happens, because the bad, again, there are good ones, but the bad caseworkers will say, you know what, if you work with us, it'll go easier. And so now you're trying to figure out, do I get my kid back, which is the only thing that matters? Do I get my kid back faster if I play ball, or do I get my kid back faster if I fight it and I think I have the justification to fight it? You should never have to ask that question. This is like a legal world before Miranda. You know, a legal world before the right to an attorney and the obligation to tell you that you have it. Like, you're taking a child away. You have rights. They should be telling parents their rights just like you tell the accused rights before you arrest them. And yet they don't. There should also be, you know, no long distance removals, which was an issue in this particular case where you put them so far away that you can't, you know, can't even see the kids. And that becomes a barrier to reunification. Now, look, we're going to talk about this again at 7:40 because I think it's so important. And, I really appreciate Aaron Grawl and Jason Pizzo and Don Gates working on this. I forget who the fourth senator is. But as a future parent, I was always terrified of the prospect of dealing with DCF. As a parent, I'm always terrified of the prospect of dealing with DCF. As a member of the community, I am terrified on behalf of other people of dealing with DCF. And as somebody who cares about kids, I'm terrified of the incompetence at DCF of not dealing with the kids who need the help. And there's reports like that in this grand jury report of like one where they They went back again and again 18 times, and an infant was born in this case, and the mom had threatened to kill the kids, and they did nothing, and the child winds up dying. Another case where they didn't do anything over years, and it, you know, with sexual abuse and the father, and it winds up being that the one of the kids actually winds up killing the father. I cannot emphasize, like they said, you cannot overstate the gravity of this report. They're not wrong. You can't say it was bad often enough, and it needs to get fixed. Thank God they're going to work on it. At least I hope they do, because we need this service. And by the way, we need foster parents. You need good foster families. There are not enough. You know, if you can take a kid and you're, I hate to say it this way, but if you can take a kid and you're not a monster, do it. You know, if you can. 437-1620. PJ has traffic on the fives.
It is a quiet start to your Labor Day weekend. I-10 and 110 are both flowing smooth. Navy Boulevard and Gulf Beach Highway not showing any delays. I'm PJ with the traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you need any of the work done inside your home, complex systems like plumbing, air conditioning, heating, electrical, Peden is your place for it. It's, you know, we're still in hurricane season, but you want to make sure that generator is going to work right. Have them come check it out. You know, plumbing can be an issue if only because it's always working and you never know there's a problem until there's a problem. And when it's a problem, it's really bad typically. So have them come out and do a Peden plumbing checkup. You know, $59. They can check out your plumbing, make sure that it's ready. That's not kind of on the verge of something bad happening. So from generators to air conditioning to heating to to electrical, any of that stuff, Peden is the pros you can trust. You know, they've been doing business all along the Gulf Coast, everywhere from Mobile all the way to Tallahassee. Since 1969, helping people solve these problems with good work, good products, good installation, 100% satisfaction guarantee on the work. Find out more at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N.com.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Hi, this is Jeff Culhane, voice of the Florida State Seminoles. This is News Radio 92.3, your home for the Noles. Informative, local, dependable.
Because of its enormous popularity, Soylent Green is in short supply. Remember, Tuesday is Soylent Green Day.
Good morning, 6:58 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. It is Labor Day. We are live every day of the year except for Christmas. It's the only day we take off. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Russia and North Korea have opened their first road bridge spanning the Tumen River between the two countries. Russian Prime Minister Mikhail Mishustin says that the bridge should boost trade, tourism, and other cooperation, as well as creating jobs. Construction began last year. The Trump administration is considering a proposal that would use federal child care funds to pay some stay-at-home parents. The proposal would apply to married couples with one spouse working at least 35 hours a week while the other stays home with the kids. Critics warn it could increase competition for already limited child care funding. And the Emmys were held in Los Angeles over the weekends. Widow's Bay led the ceremony with 8 wins. The Pitt picked up 4. And DTF St. Louis 1-6. I'm not familiar
with
that.
Yeah, you don't want to think too much about what that means.
Not familiar with that program.
Let's just say it's not down to fraternize.
Ah, okay then. There we go with that. Let's see. Rob Reiner posthumously winning an Emmy for The Bear.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. David, thank you so much for the update. 6:59 on News Radio 92.3. We'll talk this morning coming up at 8:10. We will talk with Sheriff Bob Johnson, his experiences with DCF. We'll talk tomorrow with Sheriff Chip Simmons about this as well. This is not an issue that's going away. This is big stuff. I almost wish it weren't Labor Day. We're covering it because I know a lot of folks aren't, in their cars listening. But pay attention to this story.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most.